is the KOTO Community Radio News for Thursday, May 6th. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, public health cautiously confident about COVID outlook. Norwood School District welcomes new principal. Strong Start looks back on 2020 and a mountain weather forecast. But first, the San Juan's mountaineering community lost a member of its family this week. Mason Stansfield of Ouray died on Monday after falling into a crevasse in Denali National Park in Alaska. He was 28 years old. According to the National Park Service, Stansfield was traveling in the southeastern part of the park near Eldridge Glacier with a friend when he fell. Emergency services responded to the call from his travel partner. Once on the scene, a mountaineering ranger was lowered into the crevasse and found his body approximately 100 feet below the glacier surface. Stansfield's partner was uninjured and transported to a town outside the park. Denali Mountaineering Rangers recovered Stansfield's remains later on Monday evening. COVID restrictions are continuing to loosen in San Miguel County.
Tomorrow we'll be moving to level green on the state's COVID dial.
That's San Miguel County Public Health Director Grace Franklin speaking on CODO on Thursday.
This really was supported by our metrics. Our positivity rate is less than 1%. Our incidence rate remains low, and we haven't had any hospitalizations in quite a while.
So what does that mean for businesses and the community?
Capacity limits aren't really a thing anymore, with the caveat that we still need that 6 feet between different pods or households. And masks should still be worn indoors in public. So businesses that have the space to really can maximize that and come back in full swing as long as all these best practices are maintained.
Transportation may operate at 75% capacity, with 6 foot distancing on routes longer than 15 minutes, and lodging capacity will increase to 100% for the month of May. Franklin caveats that current low COVID numbers is in part due to a small population in the county.
So we should anticipate a shift in our disease metrics as more people come back. So that's just something to keep on the forefront of our mind too.
Public health will continue looking at data and reassess COVID restrictions on a monthly basis. But the outlook seems bright. Loosening restrictions is, of course, influenced by the number of people vaccinated in the county. To that point, San Miguel has been one of the top in the state for its per capita vaccination rate. But Franklin notes that doesn't mean all restrictions can just go away.
A lot of folks have been asking, who are we protecting, right? If the majority of our community is has some level of immunity through vaccines, what gives, pretty much?
Franklin says it's about protecting the community as a whole, including outside San Miguel, in addition to the medical system.
Medical care is going to continue, and people are going to continue to get sick. And if we have a lot of folks coming from outside our community, staying here or living here part-time, and they are sick or infected with COVID, that impacts our medical system, that impacts contact tracing and the public health system. And so it's not just about the sick, but it's also about this whole system that we've been trying to protect over this last year and a half.
Looking at those vaccines, to this point, only those 16 and older have been eligible. But as early as next week, the Federal Food and Drug Administration could approve the Pfizer vaccine for those 12 and up. Franklin says it's a good thing. But once again, it doesn't mean restrictions will disappear.
The goal of herd immunity is to minimize how many folks get sick, if there is somebody who's sick, and it's really minimizing the amount of outbreaks and protecting our most vulnerable. So as we have younger age groups available to get authorized to get this vaccine, it's going to just add to that greater catchment of protecting people. From a policy perspective, it's still like, is not if this, then that. It's if this plus that in the case of X, right? Like, and so it's this whole complex, mushy approach.
And Dr. Sharon Grundy, county medical officer, notes it's okay if parents want to wait a moment before getting their child vaccinated.
As a parent of a 12-year-old, it gives me pause, but I also, I think it's going to be the right thing to do.
Once again, Grundy says the decision to vaccinate is a personal one, but it's also a communal one.
Part of that decision-making also has to not just be about you and your child, it also has to be about your activities. So that if you all are worldwide travelers, trying to get back to school, going to college, your asymptomatic child could be bringing this disease somewhere, and we have to be thinking not just of ourselves, but of where we go and who we come in contact with.
Grundy says if the vaccine is approved and parents decide to wait a moment before vaccinating their child, she would recommend beginning that process in July to allow for a double dose and the 2 weeks following the dose, all before school starts in the fall. COVID isn't over. Public health orders are still changing, restrictions are in place, vaccines aren't in arms all across the country and world. There's still a lot to consider. But all that to say, Franklin and Grundy both say they're looking forward to a good summer. Franklin, cautiously optimistic. Grundy, confident.
I feel solid that our community itself, our community members, are going to be safe. And again, are going to go back to kind of a good economic situation, and I don't want to say returning to normal, because I don't think we should totally return to normal, but I feel solid that we are safe.
San Miguel County will enter level green on the state's COVID dial starting Friday, May 7th. The Norwood School District will be starting the 2021-2022 school year with two new individuals at the helm. The district recently hired a new superintendent, and last month it announced Adam Truitt will be joining the district as the K-12 principal. KOTO News spoke with Truitt about where he hopes to see the Norwood schools go in the future and what he loves about educating on the Western Slope. Hey, Adam, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with me today.
Yeah, you bet. It's good to be here.
You will be starting your job at the Norwood Schools in July, but can you share a little bit about where you are now and where you're coming from?
I'm currently in Duluth, Minnesota, and I'm the dean of students at a local middle school here, 6, 7, and 8. I work primarily with attendance concerns and behavioral concerns. I work a lot in restorative practices. You know, working with kids to kind of peel back those layers. I work a lot through a trauma lens, just to kind of understand the kids that are kind of going through some tricky times, and you know, kind of meeting them where they're at and making sure that we're pointing them in the right direction. Again, I've been up here about 4 years now. We came up here to be a little closer to my wife, Christy's family. Christy's originally from Duluth, but also moved to Telluride back in like the early 90s, and our paths crossed. In the late 90s, where we were living in Telluride, and at the time I was teaching at Telluride Elementary School. From there, we moved to Olathe, where I started teaching at Olathe Elementary School, and that's when we kind of settled into a nice little old farmhouse and had three children, taught there for several years, and then went back to grad school at Colorado Mesa University. And got my degree in educational leadership. And then there was an opening in Delta County Schools. And I was an assistant principal over there at Garnet Mesa Elementary for about 4 years. And had the pleasure of being the principal of Delta Middle School for a couple of years. And then, you know, at that time, Christy and I were, you know, wanting to be a little closer to our family. And kind of looking for a new playground on the world tour, per se. And we jumped at coming up to northern Minnesota. But the dinner time conversation is proving to, you know, wanting to come back to the Western Slope. So we're thrilled at the opportunity to come to Norwood.
Yeah, so you will be new to the Norwood School District, but definitely not new to the region. What is it about teaching in this part of the world that you so much enjoy?
Moving to the Western Slope in like the late 90s really just sent me on a trajectory to really use my undergraduate degree, which is in elementary education, and then again had the fortunate open door to be at Telluride Elementary and live and play and work in the mountains and just get to meet so many different people from so many walks of life and really be able to connect with kids. Again, yeah, on the Western Slope for, oh my goodness, you know, 20 years. And, you know, it certainly has my heart. And excited to bring my family back. But, you know, the families, the ruralness of Norwood, I'm really excited about. Being a K-12 teacher with, you know, a small student body and, you know, the teachers and the team out at Norwood, I've heard only amazing things with, and I really can't wait to just cross paths and learn and share and grow with this school.
You know, working in education is both invigorating and challenging. What are some of the things that you see as potential challenges, but also exciting things for the Norwood School District in the coming years?
Yeah, I mean, Christy and I had an opportunity to kind of walk through the school a few weeks back, and you can just tell there's a lot going on in that school. And for me to be able to kind of come in and not necessarily flip the script, that's certainly not my style. I want to come in and kind of see what traditions and cultures are in place and kind of be able to learn alongside. But, you know, I certainly know that Norwood's got its fair share of challenges, but they've got so many great new initiatives there that are already in place. And there's some annual celebrations of things that have been going on for the last couple of years that are really, really exciting. You know, being able to, again, kind of like what I'm doing, a lot of restorative practices, a lot of trauma-informed professional development, you know, really being able to kind of see where our kids are at. You know, Norwood's got a lot of great things. I mean, they've been a distinguished school for the last couple of years. They got 100% graduation rate. I think some of the challenges are, I know that Norwood can be a little bit of a bedroom community and coming your way, and, you know, certainly wanted to kind of retain some of those kids and get them to see all the amazing things that are going on in Norwood. And those are going to be some of the conversations that I look forward to having.
As we mentioned, you're no stranger to the region, but you are coming back. Outside of school, what are some of the things that you're really looking forward to do?
Well, I've got three kids currently, and I've got a 15-year-old. His name is Rye, and I've got a 12-year-old. Her name is Haley, and I've got a 10-year-old, and his name is Maddie. And, you know, they're incredibly active kids and, you know, born on the Western Slope, born in Montrose. And I'm excited to bring them back because they're really just kind of starting to kind of evolve into the people that they are, and they're athletes and great students. And I really want to just kind of broaden their horizons with not only the people of the Western Slope, but all the amazing activities that you know, San Miguel County has to offer and the San Juans, and, you know, getting up high and fly fishing and show off some San Juan, you know, sunsets and endless horizons.
Adam, thank you again so much for taking a few minutes to chat with me, and congratulations on your new position.
Hey, Julie, I greatly appreciate your time.
For a strong start, 2020 was all about resilience and responsiveness.
Certainly 2020 threw us all for a loop, and looking back at what Strong Start was able to do, it was really remarkable.
That's Kurt Wilson, an evaluation consultant who worked with the publicly funded Local Early Childhood Education Initiative on its 2020 evaluation report. Wilson discussed the report this week with the San Miguel Board of County Commissioners. One of Strong Start's primary roles last year, Wilson notes, was as a hub for COVID information for the early childhood community.
Especially in the early days, there was tons of confusion, tons of pressure, tons of fear, in a lot of ways, tons of confusion about where to turn for the good information. And so instead of every center having to deal with this, Strong Start was able to really step up, consolidate things, and provide a single source of information.
Strong Start also provided funding, both to supplement teacher salaries and training, and to help parents with tuition. According to surveys, that support reduced stress in both groups. Wilson stresses that's important.
Toxic stress, especially in families, creates a very unhealthy environment for children, and there's a bunch of studies demonstrating that. And stress in a workplace creates burnout and creates all kinds of problems that also ripple through the workplace.
About $170,000 in salary supplements went out to just under 50 teachers, and $130,000 in assistance went out to 50 families, with an increase in the average grant size from 2019 to 2020. Of those families, Wilson explains, about 70% have lived in the county for over 6 years.
While it's certainly open to all, for the most part, it is really going to long-term residents.
Over 70% of teachers and families said the salary supplement and assistance was, quote, very helpful or extremely helpful. The commissioners praised the Strong Start team for their work throughout last year, helping local early childhood education stay afloat. Here's Commissioner Lance Waring.
Keep the lights on was really the refrain I kept hearing, is we need to do this quickly, we need to do this right, but if we don't do it, we're going to lose a center, and that did not happen.
The challenges of 2020 aren't entirely in the past. Strong Start Program Coordinator Kathy Barber notes the schools still have to accept fewer children because of COVID restrictions and says it looks like that will continue to be an issue. But at least when it comes to the ups and downs of 2020, Strong Start had a strong finish. Start practicing your Warrior One, Pigeon, Downward Dog Mountain, and Shavasana. Telluride's annual, skipping 2020, yoga festival will be back this summer. But if you ask Erica Henschel, producer of the yoga festival, coming back in 2021 wasn't always a given.
I was trying to write a postponement email for, 2 months, and I just couldn't do it. And I just kept thinking to myself, like, if there's a way it can happen, I just think it's super important.
So Henschel got to work planning the festival. And what it's become is a smaller, fully outdoors, more intimate event.
Typically, we do have the festival all pretty much happening at the Telluride High School. And we're going to do that again. However, we're just going to have all outdoor tents. So we're getting larger tents, which will house fewer yogis. Everybody will be able to socially distance, and once they get to their mat, they'll be able to take their mask off and practice.
For those who were looking forward to specific workshops or presentations from last year's lineup, Henschel says, fear not.
Basically, the lineup that we had from 2020 is going to be the lineup that we have for 2021, with a few exceptions.
She adds there will also be a lot of hiking, and the festival is in fact adding more events to get participants outside and in the mountains. Henschel says following 2020, the yoga festival is more important than ever.
I just feel like there's a real need for human connection, and being in person and in the mountains, and, you know, coming off a year where a lot of people haven't done any outdoor, you know, any gatherings of any nature, just from a mental and emotional and spiritual wellness standpoint, I just feel like people are really craving this. And, you know, what better way to, you know, kind of come out of this pandemic than to be practicing yoga and in Telluride.
The Telluride Yoga Festival will take place June 24th to 27th. Registration is available at TellurideYogaFestival.com. Governor Jared Polis has signed a bill making it easier for children to get medical marijuana at school. The new law requires schools to store and distribute the drug to students who need it to treat seizures and other conditions. Senate Bill 56 had broad bipartisan support, including from Republican Kevin Van Winkle of Highlands Ranch.
Parents should not have to choose between their child's education and access to life-saving medication.
Schools previously had the power not to accept medical marijuana at their facilities, leading to lawsuits from parents trying to secure it for their children. State lawmakers have given initial approval to a bill to temporarily stop people convicted of assault and other violent misdemeanors from buying guns. As KOTO Scott Franz reports, the measure is a response to the mass shooting in Boulder.
Police say the suspect legally bought a gun after pleading guilty to assaulting a classmate in 2017. Dozens of people testified that Colorado should block sales under those circumstances in the future. Joel Loomis is a cashier at the grocery store and lost 3 co-workers in the March attack.
Americans deserve the right to be and feel safe in a spa, in a movie theater, or in the grocery store. They deserve freedom from death from the barrel of a gun in the wrong hands. I'm afraid, representatives, and I don't want to be afraid.
Loomis says the bill would prevent future mass shootings. Gun rights advocates and Republicans testified against it, saying dealers are already doing enough to block criminals from buying them. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 40 degrees. Friday, there is a slight chance of showers with mostly sunny skies and a high in the mid-60s. Friday night should be mostly clear with a low around 35. Saturday should be partly sunny during the day and partly cloudy at night with a 40% chance of showers in the afternoon. The high is near 60 degrees with a low around 30. Winds could gust as high as 25 miles per hour. This has been the news for Thursday, May 6th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206. And now, a personal commentary.
Hey, CODO listeners. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Over the course of the month, Tri-County Health Network will be hosting a variety of exciting events to stop the stigma surrounding mental health and to encourage community members to seek out the resources they need to thrive in all capacities. On Mondays in May, Jenny Thomas will host a free community support group at 6 p.m. via Zoom. Join to create greater connection with community members facing similar challenges. Each Wednesday in May, join Julia Johnson for free yoga in Oak Street Lawn by the Gondola in Telluride. No registration is necessary, and mats will be provided by Telluride Yoga Center. Do you want to learn tools to help youth who are facing a substance use or mental health challenge thrive? On May 20th, TCH Network will be teaching a free Youth Mental Health First Aid Workshop at Wilkinson Public Library, open to adults over 18. To learn more about all of these events and to view our full event schedule, visit tchnetwork.org/events-and-classes or give us a call at 970-708-7096. Stay tuned throughout the month for more exciting events and opportunities. And remember, this Mental Health Month and always, you are not alone.
Opinions broadcast over KOTO are those of the speakers. You are also invited to express your views after the news or on Access each weekday at around 4 p.m. If you would like to comment, please contact a staff person here at CODO. We encourage you to speak out on important public issues.